Lord have mercy. Are you ready for a miracle? God's people, it's time to let's get it, let's get it. This is it.
You can't mess with my mind anymore.
This is it. Hallelujah.
I'm smart as the ability before.
This is it.
Me. It's a new day. I'm not afraid anymore.
This is a new day.
This is it. Yes, I believe. Yes, you believe.
This is it. Everybody that's been holding you down, look at them and tell them.
This is it.
All right. Today I'm going to talk to you just for, man, I've got two sermons, so it's kind of a mini-series, but I'm not going to promise you I'll stop there. We'll see what the Holy Spirit leads us. But we're talking today about part one of taking your territory. Come on, let's say it together. Say, taking your territory. One more time. Taking your territory. I grew up with a dad who really liked watching Westerns. And he not only Westerns, but he really liked Jimmy Stewart and he really liked John Wayne. Anybody remember those days? Anybody have a, okay, yeah. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you better buckle up, Pilgrim. Anyway, come on now. Remember these days, you know? It seemed like all these Western movies had a theme. All these movies had a theme about territory. You know, a family settles into a new territory. They build a house from scratch. They go out on the land, build their small ranch and a farmhouse or whatever. And they're proud. They've scratched for nothing to get it. And all of a sudden, there's this gang or this rich mafia boss living in town who wants all this property. So he sends out a gang to bully them off their land so he can take possession of their land, wants to force them to sell. It's always the same theme. And all these movies had the same thing about protecting the territory. You know, and I think many of us kind of lost this art of thinking about that, that we don't think of things as territory, maybe the way that our grandfathers and our great-grandfathers and their fathers thought of about territory and getting your ground and getting to a new land and establishing your territory. But I think that God wants us today to realize that he's given us territory. In the spiritual realm, I want you to realize today he has given you territory, and it's up to us to step up and take it. Now today, before we get into our text, let me set the text up. Remember the story when Jesus has been teaching. He commands his disciples to get in the boat so we can go to the side. They get into the boat and a big storm rises. And as a storm rises up, that the disciples get fearful. We're going to die, Jesus. Get up. Don't sleep. Wake up. We're going to die. And so they wake up Jesus. He gets up and he's like, man, he gets kind of aggravated at them. You guys have little faith. He gets up and he speaks to the storm, you know, peace be still, and the winds and the sea obey him, and they calm down. And then he just like, man, you know, you guys didn't have much faith, did you? You know, and they go to the other side, and when they get out of the other side, the Bible says that there's a demonic man who had been filled with many, many legions of demons are there waiting to greet him. And as he gets out of the boat, this man comes up and begins to act out. And Jesus cast out the demons in his life. But let's pick up the story now in Luke chapter 8, verses 30 through 39. We're going to read a lot of the text right now, then we'll get right into the meat of it. Okay, so stay with me today. Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? And he said,
Legion.
I'm just going to kind of, you know, can you imagine the dark voice?
Legion.
Because many demons had entered him, and they begged him that he would not command them to go out. Listen, the demons are begging Jesus that he would not, what? Send them out into the abyss. Now, a herd of many swine, that would be pigs, was feeding there on the mountain. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter them. So they know that Jesus is going to cast them out. They already know that as soon as he gets there. All right, Jesus, you're getting ready to cast these things out. Don't send us away to the abyss. Let us stay here. Sent us to the pigs. And the demons went out of the man, entered the swine. The herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled. And they told it to the city and in the country. And then they went out to see what had happened. And then they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed. Now look, they're scared of the man. Isn't this crazy? They're scared of this man before. He's the most violent man. The demons are possessing him. He's out there running around naked, foaming at the mouth, screaming out things, doing all these crazy things, and people are scared of him. And then look what happens now. They come back because Jesus heals them. They come back only to find the man sitting at the feet of Jesus. Clothed. That's always a good thing, isn't it? He got his clothes back on. He wasn't naked. He was, and what was he doing? He was in his right mind. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was clothed and in his right mind. And then they got afraid. Afraid of Jesus now. They were afraid of the demon, man. Now they're afraid of Jesus. Let me just stop here a second and say this right now. You know, when people come in who are not in the right mind, your mind's been overtaken by fear, stress, traumatic things that have happened in your life. But when you allow the Spirit of God to come into your life, to come over your mind, that God will bring you back into the right place of mind. That God can restore your mind. That God can restore the peace back to your life. God can restore order back to your mind. Some of you thought you have lost your mind, but I'm here to declare over you today that you haven't lost your mind, because the Spirit of the living God is going to bring back order to your mind. He's going to bring back peace to your mind. He's going to bring back and cast aside all fear and allow you to rest at the feet of Jesus. Someone say amen. So this is what happens when things happen to people. The demons leave and Jesus restores back the right frame of mind. They also who had seen it told them by what means who had been demon possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude, not just a few, the multitude. When the Bible talks about multitude, there's usually talking about thousands of people, okay? The whole multitude surrounding the region of Gadara asked him to depart from them. But they were seized with great fear. And he had gotten to the boat, and he returned. Now look at the last part of this. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged Jesus, hey, that he might go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, no, return to your own house. Tell what great things God has done for you. And he went his way, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Now I want to close this part of the reading of the scripture with one quick one-line scripture. In Ephesians 4:27, look what it says here. Don't give place to the devil. Let's say it together. Don't give place to the devil. One more time. Don't give place to the devil. We need to stop giving place to the devil. Let me say it again. We need to stop giving up our territory to the devil. For far too long, we've let Christians have come along and given the devil territory that doesn't belong to him. We've allowed the devil to bully our territory away from us. See, in order to have territory, first you must have ownership. You must realize that I own the territory first. God has given me this territory first. Now, I will tell you this, that I don't go around looking for fights. Let me reword that. Since I've been saved, I don't go around. You know what I'm talking about, Mo? I don't go around looking for fights. I don't have a chip on my shoulder the way I used to. Jesus did a great work in my life, and I'm still a work in progress. There's still some times, though, I can be pushed to the edge. There's still times that I see a woman driving that drives me crazy down the highway. Okay, I'll give you an example. This past week, Landon and I were turning from a college visit, and we're coming down the street, and we're in Kansas City, and we're coming out where the 71 closes off and starts going from three lanes to two lanes. You know how that bottleneck's there? But there's a long stretch of third lane where you can kind of pass a lot of traffic. And the traffic had backed up for some reason in the two lanes, but the outside lane was open. So we were going to take that all the way up until it's time to merge and kind of, you know, save a little time. So we're doing this like many cars are doing. And all of a sudden, this car in front of me decides, you know what? I don't like this. I'm stuck in line, and all these guys are getting a pass to go up front. And so they scoot over and straddle the line. Enough where if I tried to go left, they would cut out to the left. If I tried to go right and pass them, they cut to the right. And then all of a sudden, I felt my blood kind of bubbling a little bit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on, ladies. I know the guys aren't the only ones that have a little road rage once in a while. And so I'm thinking, buddy, you're messing with the wrong dude. What are you doing here? And so I begin to think, you know, I'm going to call, you know, fake left, counter right, you know, on football days. And I swerve to the left, and I swerve back to the right past them. And I'm like, ha! And as I look back, it was a soccer mom driving the car with two babies in the back seat. I'm like, lady, what are you doing? You know, we have those things. But honestly, you know, I really don't worry too much about drama in other people's lives. I really don't. You know why? I got enough drama in my own home. I got enough drama in my own life. I could really care less about the drama in your life. I can really, I don't have time to gossip about you, talk about you, the things going on in your home. I really don't. Why? Because I got enough of my own, okay? I got enough things going on in my own home. I don't have to worry about yours. It's all right. We got our own thing. You do you, I'll do me. We all right, okay? I'm pretty passive until something happens. You jump across my fence, get into my garage, and start messing with my things. Let me say it differently. You come into my house and want to mess with one of my kids. You come into my house and try to mess with my spouse, and you're going to leave in a stretcher. I'm just telling you right now. You ain't going to leave. You come in and mess with my family, something's going to happen. Don't come into my house and mess with my family. You're going to be in trouble. Any dad say amen. Amen. Any mom say amen. Amen. Why? Because you don't do it. I mean, the times I've gotten in trouble is always when someone's messed with my kids. So when they were smaller, someone messed with them, and I'd get, lose it, you know. Like, boy, that wasn't a very pastoral thing to do. But they were messing with my kids. And, you know, you come to my house and mess with my kids, man, you're in trouble. You mess with my family, you're in trouble. I'm just telling you, don't do it. Don't do it. I'm pretty passive, but don't mess with my family. But see, far too long, many of us have set back and let the enemy come in and mess with our family, take over our children, take over our marriage, take over our finances, take over our home, and we ain't doing a thing about it. No, you should have the same kind of spiritual tenacity about you. Same kind of spiritual boldness about you. No, devil, you ain't coming into my house. You ain't getting my kids. You ain't getting my marriage. You're not getting my family. Quit sitting by passive and letting the enemy come in and take from you what belongs to you. You got to come in and say, no. This is the territory God has given me, and I've got to protect it. I've got to stop the enemy from coming in and taking over. So we got to stop being passive. We got to be faith in action. You stand up to the enemy, proclaim your territory. See, let me give you something here. Satan is not after you. He's really not. Look at this. Satan is not after you. He is after your territory. I know you think you're all that, but the reason why he's messing with you is because he's not really after you. He's after your territory. He's after your influence. He wants to ruin your influence. He wants to ruin your territory, and so he's messing with you because he wants that territory. He wants to take that back. He wants that territory. See, he takes you out, he knows he takes out your influence. He takes you out, he knows he takes out your influence. See, you got to know what my territory is. That's why there's times, man, I just like your kids and my kids, there's times, man, that I can't sleep at night. I have to get up and I pray over my kids. And when I see that Satan's messing with one of my children, I'm up pacing the floors. I'm praying over them. When they're not home, I'm praying over their bed and their pillow. And my mama prays over their lunches. I'm praying over their sneakers when they put their feet in those sneakers, that God will direct their steps. I'm praying over their backpacks. I'm praying over them. Why? Because I believe that Satan cannot have my children. He will not have my children. He will not have my family. And so I've got to stand up and do that. There's times you got to fight. There's times all five of my children, I've had to stand up, and I feel like Satan was trying to get to them. Why? Because he couldn't get to me. He'll get to one of my kids. If he can't get to me, he'll attack my spouse. If he can't get to our marriage, he'll attack one of your kids. If he can't get to that, he'll attack your finance. I mean, he's trying to take away your territory. And you got to say, no. Satan, you messing with the wrong person right now. I'm just telling you right now. You might mess with somebody else, but you ain't messing with my kids. You ain't messing with my family. You're going to unleash a holy mom that's going to have to get up and give you a spiritual whooping right now. Well, my kid's bigger than me. You get up and you pray over those kids. You anoint that bed with oil. I'll tell you right now, I had a mom that would take a prayer cloth just like this. And they would anoint it with oil. She'd take it to the ladies of the church, and they'd pray over that, and she'd hide that thing under my mattress. I'd be finding prayer cloths all under my pillows, under my mattress. Why? Because I was a heathen, and I needed it. Did it work? I'm here today. I'll tell you right now, not because of anything I did, but I had the power of praying parents who said, no, not my family. No, not my son. No. And they began to take spiritual authority over them. See, you've got to have territory and say, you know what? I'm not giving up. Don't sit back and be passive. No, kids are going to be kids. No. You take spiritual authority over your marriage, over your home, over your children, over your finances. You don't let Satan have his way with you. No, you wouldn't do it in the natural. Don't do it in the spiritual. Let me say again. You wouldn't do it in the natural. Don't do it in the spiritual. Let yourself stand up and take over. God, no. Some of you think, man, I've blown it, man. Pastor, I wish I heard this message 20 years ago. I got grandkids now. Well, I'm telling you, it's not too late. You can pray. You can circle that house, drive around that house in that block 7 times a day, praying over them. Every time you go, you just put a little oil on your hands. And when you open that door knob, you got oil anointing that house, anointing that door. You walk in, you pray over your grandkids. You pray over your family. Don't give up. Don't just give up your territory. This is what God has given you. Satan wants to take away your territory because he wants to take away your influence. Now, let's pick up a story now in Luke 8, 28. I just read to you verses 30, but let's pick up a few verses before then. Let's see what happened when Jesus confronted this man. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting to the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus?" Now, everybody knew his name was Jesus, but he gives him another name here. The demons speak out and say, "Son of the Most High God, I beg you, don't torture me," for Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of them, to come out of that man. Now, let me time out here. At this time, nobody had called him the Son of God, Son of the Most High God. Even his disciples at this point had not recognized that he was Son, the Messiah. He just said, "Come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." But they didn't really understand everything that was going on. They thought he was a good rabbi, a good teacher. They knew he was a prophet, but they didn't really fully understand that he was the Son of God at this point. And so what's happening here is the demons knew who Jesus was. The demons knew before anybody else knew. The demons are calling out, "Jesus, not only Jesus, but you are Son of the Most High God." We got way too many Christians that are letting the Satan know more about who God is than they know about who God is. We have too many people that let Satan know more about who God is than we know about who God is. That's why we continually are pushing here and teaching here at Destiny about learning in the depth and growing in your knowledge of who the Father is, who God is. Why? Because the more you understand him, the more you understand his nature, the more you have a better view of him, the more you grow in your faith, the more you understand who God is. The demons know. They know you're the Son of the Most High God. They didn't say, "Well, you're that one guy who, when the two molecules hit out in space, everything kind of exploded, and then these fish formed, and then this fish walked out onto the land, and they grew legs, and then, you know, all of a sudden, bam, you know, you came." No, they knew. Hey, that's about dumb right there. They're like, "No, you're Jesus, Son of the Most High God. You are the Son of the Creator of the universe." They knew who he was, the Most High. And they knew who he was. They knew the authority which he operated. They knew they must obey. They knew they must subject. So the demons know about him. We got to know about him. And they asked Jesus this one thing. Have you ever thought about this? They asked Jesus, don't send us away, but let us stay here with the pigs and the swine. You ever thought about that? And I believe the reason why they did that, because they were not wanting to lose their territory. The demons didn't want to leave that territory. See, they're not after you, they're after your territory. They're not necessarily wanting you, they're wanting your territory, your influence. That's what they're wanting. And they're trying to get to you to take away your influence, to take away your territory. And you just got to stand up and say, no, devil, you ain't getting my territory. This territory was given to me by God. And if God's got new territory for me, I'm going to ride through the storm. I'm going to ride the boat and get to the other side. Because God's got a territory he's wanting me to walk in. You see, we got to realize it. Look at Luke 8. Let's pick it up in verses 34 and 35 now. When those who fed them saw that they had, what had happened? They saw all those pig farmers. They saw their pig, the demons go out and enter the pigs. The pigs run off the cliff into the water and drown themselves. They're like, whoa. And look what their reaction was. It's like you were like, wow. They fled and they told it in what? They told it in the city and in the country. And then they went out. This is everyone. They all came back out to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and found the man whom the demons had departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were all afraid. See, we see something happening here. When When people get set free, let me just say it to you this way. Look at this statement. When people get set free, when people come and get set free, the city will show up. You see, when people come into our churches and people are being set free, the city will show up to find out what's going on. That person, I work with them. I know how they are. They had lost their mind. And all of a sudden, they're walking in a new peace. They're walking in a new mindset. They're walking in a new place. What is going on? I've got to come and see what's happening. This person was bound. This person was bound by addiction. This person was bound by past problems, by failures. And man, they're walking, smiling. Something's happened to them. They're sitting at the feet of Jesus, walking in the joy of the Lord. How is that possible? I've got to come and see what's going on. I got to show up and see. Church, this is why we don't have time to play spiritual patty cake. Baker's man, roll them up and throw them in the pan. How are you? We don't have time to do that. We got to see the spirit of the God setting people's minds free, letting forth the addiction of people's minds and in their hearts. We got to see the spirit of God moving in people's lives, changing them. Why? So the city will come and see that there is a God who cares about them. There is a God who restores order. There's a God who brings healing. There's a God who brings grace. There's a God who brings peace, who casts aside all fear. See, when things happen like that, the city shows up. They want to see what's happening here. Turn to your neighbor and say, is it good today? See, Jesus went out of his way. Jesus went out of his way to talk to one person. He went across the Sea of Galilee. Why? To talk to one person. And not the first time. I mean, think about it. When he went to the woman at the well, he went out of his way to get a drink of water. Why? Because he had one person he was trying to reach. Was he trying to reach that one person? No. He wasn't after the one person. Wes, he was after the territory. Because every time Jesus did something, it said people were amazed, and that person went around telling the whole territory of the great things that God had done. The change that God had brought. See, Jesus was after the territory. He wasn't just after the person. He was after the territory. See, the storm is always before you get to the territory. Look at this. The storm is always before you get to the territory God has promised you. When God has given you a new territory he wants you to go to, you start going there and the storm will show up. I guarantee you it's going to happen. Every time you get ready to take new territory, the storm's going to show up. Why? Because it wants you to turn back, to go a different way. They're going to go to that territory. So Satan's not going to sit back and let you just go and have it. He's just not going to let you have it. You're going to have to take it. You're going to have to stand up in faith and say, no, this is mine. God has given it to me. This is territory God has for me. And the storm will always rise up trying to detour you to get you to go back, to give up, or go a different place. But Satan's just not going to hand over the territory that God's got for you. You're going to have to work for it. You're going to stand up for it. See, the storm is the enemy's way of trying to get us to turn back. But because Jesus is in the boat. Let me say this again. Because Jesus is in the boat. Not just any boat. He's in my boat. I can go through any storm. I can step out into new territory knowing what? That God's got this. I can take my new territory. Why? Because the enemy's after my territory. He's not after me. He's after my territory. If he can't get to me, he'll go after my wife. If he can't get to my wife, he'll go after our children. Why? Because he's not really after me. He's after my influence. He's after you, and he's going to hit you in different places. But why? Because he's trying to get your territory. We got to quit letting the enemy have our territory. We got to stand up spiritually and say, no. Enemy, enough's enough. Back off my territory. Back off what God's given me. I wonder how many storms that we've run from in our lives. How many storms that we run from in our life that we, if we would have went through the storm, that when we got out of the boat, there was somebody there that God wanted us to deliver. There was somebody there that God wanted healing to come. There was somebody there that when we came through our storm, we got out of the boat, there was somebody waiting that God was wanting to set free. How many people have we missed by not riding out the storm? How many people have we left there that God really had a plan bigger than what we could see? He had an influence on a territory bigger than what we can imagine. and we gave up because a storm came and we lost track and we went a different route, or we stopped going altogether. We got to go through the storm to get to the new territory. See, Jesus wasn't only crossing sides. And listen to me here. This is good. Jesus wasn't only crossing sides. He was crossing cultures. Think about it. He left the Jewish culture. He's teaching to his Jewish family and friends and the multitudes. He tells the disciples, get in the boat. Let's go to the other side. He goes to the other side. And who's he meet? The pig farmers. Jews were not allowed to be pig farmers. They couldn't touch any pork. Remember this. They couldn't touch any pork. This was against their culture. So the fact that he got out with the pig farmers was saying this, that he was going to the Gentiles. He was coming to a new culture. Was Jesus after the demonic man? No, he was after the new culture. He was after a new territory. And as he came and he seen what? The man that God set free, he went back, told people, and then the whole city comes to see Jesus. Why? Because Jesus' plan was not just to heal the one person. Jesus' plan was to bring healing to the whole territory. Are you following me here? See, he wants you to bring healing to cultures. Destiny Church, let me tell you, God's got a plan that's bigger than just reaching one person. He wants us to change cultures. God wants us to change cultures. That's why I believe here at Destiny that we're not going to reach just one culture, and we don't just reach one culture. We're not just reaching the white community or the black community or the Hispanic community or the Asian community or the young community or the old community. We're reaching cultures, multi-cultures. Why? Because God has given us a territory of reaching cultures. And besides that, you white people don't have no rhythm. I ain't going to pass through a church without any rhythm. We got to have some rhythm. Come on now. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're having fun today. But we are going to be culture changers. God is wanting us to change cultures. And how do we do that? We ride through the storm and say, no. Devil, you can't have my family. Devil, you can't have my family. You can't have my marriage. You can't have my children. You can't have my job. You can't have my finances. Well, some of you may want to give your job to the devil. I don't care. But you know what I'm talking about. Just take that one. I'm keeping the rest. You can take my boss. I'll stay over here, okay? Stop giving up your territory. You wouldn't let someone come in your house and do harm to your family. Stop letting the enemy come into your house and do harm to your family. You have been given spiritual authority. How do we know this? Look what happens here in the story. We see it unfolding right here before us. Jesus is in the boat. Things are happening. Jesus is taking care of culture. See, Jesus has called us to be across culture. See, we got to stop letting the devil believe more in us. Stop letting the devil believe more in you than you believe in yourself. Stop letting the devil believe more in you than you believe in yourself. There's a reason why he's attacking you. Because he sees the influence that God can do in your life. He sees the territory that God wants to give you. And he believes you're dangerous. He believes you can do it. Why? Because he knows who's in the boat. He knows who's in the boat. So he knows with God all things are possible. He knows with God all things can happen. And if God wants to give you the territory, it's going to come to pass. So he's going to send storms. He's going to come against your family. He's going to do everything he can to take away your territory because he wants to take away your influence. See, we got to believe God to know, God, you're in my boat. Jesus, you're in my boat. This is why I don't have to fear. Stop letting the devil be the one that has the faith in you. Have faith in yourself, knowing what God is doing. See, there's a reason why Jesus was upset when he got woken up. The storm comes. He's asleep. Disciples are like, Jesus, what are you doing asleep? Get up. We're going to die. And it says Jesus wasn't very happy with him. He wasn't very happy with him. He was like, kind of rebukes him. You guys don't have much faith here. And I'm just going to give you my opinion. You can take it or you can leave it. It doesn't bother me. I'll just tell you what I think. I think the reason why he was upset, the reason why Jesus was upset, was not because he got woke up like we did an hour early today. Some of you woke up mad. I can't hate this time change. He didn't get up mad because he got awoke from his nap. That wasn't the reason why he's mad. I think the reason why he was upset was because he wanted them to speak to the storm. He wanted them to know they had the power to speak to the storm. He was already in the boat. They just had to speak it out. You see, I wonder how many times in our life have we been praying, and it seems like God's silent. Am I the only one who's ever experienced this? Have you guys ever had that? God, I'm praying, I'm asking, I'm praying. It just seems like God's being quiet. Why aren't you speaking, God? Why aren't you speaking, God? I need you to speak. And I wonder sometimes the reason why God's not speaking is that he wants you and I to speak. Could it be the reason why he's not speaking is he wants you and I to stand up and speak to the storm? Remember last week we talked about it. David knew the battle was the Lord's. The reason why God didn't defeat Goliath, he was just waiting for someone to stand up and show up to the battle and speak to the giant. David was the only one who had the boldness to stand up and show up to the fight and show up and speak to the enemy. He already knew it was God's. Then he spoke over it and said, this battle belongs to the Lord. How many times is God wanting us to stand up in our storm? Yeah, we know it's not by our might, nor by our power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. We know that. It's God's power. We know that. And then we know it's because God's in the boat. But yet, sometimes he wants us to stand up and say, no, Satan, you can't have my kids. No, Satan, you can't have my marriage. No, Satan, you can't have my finances. No, Satan, you can't have my spouse. No, Satan, you can't have this. Why? Because Jesus is in the boat. The battle belongs to him. And I got to stand up, and God's waiting for me to speak to the storm as well. And when I get out, I am walking on new territories. God's wanting to expand our territory. God's wanting to expand our culture. I'm going to ask the musicians to come today. This is part one. Anybody enjoy part one? Did you guys enjoy this? Okay. I'm going to give you the second part of this next week. And I purposely have ended it a little short today because I want to give you a chance to respond. Today, I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet. Let's just go ahead and stand up, would you, please? As you stand today, how many look at me and say, Pastor, you're preaching right to me. I am not going to give up any more territory to the devil. Anybody here want to raise your hands? That's me. I'm not going to give up. I ain't going to let them push my kids around. I ain't going to let them push my family around. I know who's in my boat. Why do I have to live in fear? I don't have to live. No, I walk in boldness knowing that, man, that God has given me the territory. Today we're going to close with a song, and I'm going to invite you, if you want to step out to the front and say, no, devil, enough. Enough. I'm taking back the territory that you try to steal from me. I'm taking back my children, my family. I'm taking back my marriage. I'm taking back things in my life you try to steal. My joy, my mind has been going crazy. I need God to bring it back. Step in, make room around the front to those coming in, guys. Thank you. As you press into the back, guys, and spread out. Thank you. I'm here to tell you today, God's just looking for you. Just show up. Just show up to the fight and say, God, no. It's time for me to stand up and take my territory. Quit giving it away. Don't let the enemy steal from you what God's given you. We're going to sing this song. As we do, I want you to make it personal. Say, God, I'm taking back my territory. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Come on, Pastor Justin.
I want to challenge you to just lift up your hands as you respond to this awesome word that the Lord has given us. We're going to declare the truth of God over our lives. Oh, come on, everybody, help us sing, We Will Overcome.
We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Voices right now.
a few months ago, I was meeting with the staff, and I told them, I said, right now the Lord has instructed me to be quiet, to be still. Sometimes we have to have those seasons where we just know the battle's God's. You can't fight the battle on your own. You just got to let God fight for you. And I went through a season where I was just having to be quiet and let God fight my battles. But I told the staff in that meeting, I said, but I feel like the enemy is coming up and he's poking me in the chest. I said, what he doesn't know is this, that he's ticking off a sleeping giant. Because it's going to come a day when God says, all right, get up, son. I'm ready for you to fight. I'm here to tell you, declare to you today, God's saying, get up. It's time to fight, okay? It's time to get up and take our territory that God has for us. God's saying, I want you to get up and I want you to take territories. I want you to take cultures. I want you to go and do things. And we can't always. There's a time to be still. There's also a time to say, God, all right, I got to show up and quit letting the enemy take what God has given me. And so it's time for us to stand up and fight. And that's so what I'm telling you today. God is saying, it's time for you to take your territory. Don't let Satan come in and take a hold of your family and take away. No, you've been given spiritual authority. You know who's in your boat. I want you to raise your hands right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to pray over every person in this room, especially those around the front today who stepped out and said, they're ready, God. They're ready to take their territory. I pray right now, Father, you will do a great miracle. I believe in the house this morning, there's people that your mind's been tormented. You haven't rested in such a long time because your mind has been tormented. I'm here to declare over you right now in the name of Jesus that the peace of God is going to rule your mind right now. Right now, devil, you have no place. You must leave in the name of Jesus. Our minds must be free in the name of Jesus. I pray right now, deliverance in Jesus' name. And God, right now, we set people free of emotions, of abuse, Lord, of hurt in the name of Jesus. And I believe peace is coming right now. There's people in this room, you're going to sleep tonight for the first time in many months. You're going to rest well. You're going to sleep really good because the peace of God is flooding your mind, your heart right now. You've been living in stress. You've been feeling like you're going out of your mind. That's what I feel God saying. You felt like you were losing your mind, but God is saying it's a new season. It's a new day for you right now. Receive your miracle. Allow the peace of God to come into your heart. Allow the peace of God to come and restore your mind back to order and rest at the feet of Jesus, knowing he is in your boat right now. Father, I pray to God that we would not be passive, but God, we'd be aggressive spiritually in taking the territory you've given to us. Lord, we're going to fight over our children, our grandchildren, our nephews, our nieces. God, we're going to fight over those you put in our care. God, we're going to protect them spiritually. God, we're going to pray over them. We're going to speak over them. We're going to call out the things of God over their life, Father, in Jesus' name. Enemy, you can't have our families. Enemies, you can't have our marriages. Enemies, you can't have our finances. Enemies, you can't have our health in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody begin to pray in the Spirit right now, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God, we declare right now, God, a new season. God, we declare a new season, God. A spiritual boldness is rising up, God. You're rising up, people. We're not going to sit back and let the enemy have his way. But, God, we're going to speak over our territory. We're going to speak over the things you've given us and the things you're calling us to walk into. We're not going to give up when we face a storm. We're not going to give up when we see the waves getting big. But, God, right now, in Jesus' name, we speak to the waves. We speak to the storm in faith and say, be calm in Jesus' name. Cease in Jesus' name. God, you got a place for us to go. You got people for us to heal. You got cultures for us to change. And God, we speak right now to the cultures. We speak to the cultures of the four-state area. Give up in the name of Jesus. Give up. Harvest, give up in Jesus' name. Harvest, give up in Jesus' name. Lives are going to be changed in Jesus' name. Healing taking place in Jesus' name. If you agree with that prayer, put your hands together. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Turn to your neighbor and say, the enemy don't know who he's messing with. Say, the enemy don't know who he's messing with. God has given you territory. Don't give it up. Next week, we're going to do part two of this. Don't miss it. Come ready. Come ready. Walk in boldness this week. Walk in what God's giving you this week. Turn and give someone a high five and say, God is good. God bless you guys. We love you. Thank you for being here.